Good morning, church family. Praise the Lord. We're ready for another awesome Bible study today. I just love gathering together and before the Father's throne and allow the Father to teach us, don't you? You'll never look at the guy that's doing the teaching. Never look at him. Look through him and see the Father, because that's who's doing the teaching. The Holy Spirit is the one who wants us to know this, and he's bringing forth revelation knowledge.
Amen.
Well, Father, we thank you for this day and the treasury of the time together, especially the treasury of the time with you. We're so thankful, Father, for the opportunity that we have to hear your voice this morning and to allow you to teach us the living word of God. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our series is entitled A Study in the Living Word. And this is number 18. I started to say 17, but it's number 18 in the series. And the title today is The Abiding Word is a Condition of the Heart. And I could say that and sit down. because that needs to rock our timbers. A word that abides in the heart, whether it's a good word or a word for evil. That's where it abides at. And whatever is abiding in the heart, that's what's bringing forth fruit in our lives. We're going to start this morning in Proverbs 4. We won't get any further than that today. So there's a lot in Proverbs 4, but we're going to start in verse 20. And normally I go through verse 27, but we're going to go to 23 and then take up 24 through 27. Proverbs 4:20, Amplified Classic. My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. We'll take the rest of it either next week or if we get to it today. My son, attend. What does the word attend mean? Another way of pay attention. It means to...
Shut up and listen.
Yeah, shut up and listen. Sometimes Jesus would say, behold, you know. But anyways, it means that this is something that's going to be important to you. Don't be twiddling your thumbs. Don't be thinking of something else. Don't be... On your phone. Listen to what's being said here, because this is life-changing for you.
Amen.
And that's what it means. Attend to what?
His words.
To my words. How do we attend to his words? Well, because we've got a big book right in front of us called the Bible. When we open that word, we don't just read it. We let it sink into our mind and our heart. We look at what it's being said. We meditate on it. We pay attention to it. God told Joshua that if you meditate on my word day and night, it'll be well with you. That's how God taught Joshua. That's how he prepared him for what was ahead. But Joshua had to do his part. He had to get into the word. He had to pay attention to it. He had to meditate on it and do what it says. That's another word attend means. It means to do, not only to hear and to pay attention. It means to do what is being said, to make it a part of your life. Jesus said to let the word abide. And that's what that attend means. Let this word abide into our hearts, abide in our spirits, abide in our minds. Pay attention to it, listen to it, let the revelation come forth.
You know, when I read this in the Word, it reminds me of driving down the road and all of a sudden the light turns yellow.
Yeah. It doesn't mean drive on, it means to start stopping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Yeah. Always say, sometimes, well, you can make that. No, it's yellow. Mm-hmm. You start stopping right here. Yeah. I have give honor to the green light occasionally.
Yeah.
You know what that means? It turns green and you just sit there. She asked me one time, what are you sitting here for? I told her that. I said, I'm honoring their green light. Nobody ever stops for the green light.
No.
So I'm honoring the green light.
Yeah.
No, I just didn't go on, but it was a good excuse. The next words there is consent and submit. Notice it didn't say just submit. Say consent and submit. Consent means that I want to do this. I'm applying myself here. Submit, you can submit to an old, to a slave master with a big old club. You're going to submit one way or the other. You know, that's the way he looks at it. You're going to submit because I tell you to, or you're going to submit because you get knocked out, but you're going to submit. Well, consent and submit means that I want to do this. It means I myself am making the decision here to submit to this word. I'm consenting to it. So I'm doing more than just being forced into doing this. I'm allowing it to be a part of me because I want it. You know, sometimes we just got to tell the Lord, Lord, I love your word. I do that almost every time I open my Bible and close it. Lord, I love your word because I want to consent to it. I don't want to just be a slave and be forced into to doing what it says. I want to do it because I want to do it. So we attend to his words, we consent and submit to his sayings. Verse 21 says, let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. The sight is is a natural man. It's the sight goes to the mind, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But it also says, keep them in the center of your heart. So what it's saying is, let this word not only, don't just read it, but let it bypass, let it go to your mind and right to your heart. Let it abide in your heart. That's what Jesus was saying. The abiding word is what brings forth fruit. That's what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. So here he's saying, let it not depart from your sight, or keep it in front of you. Let it be a part of your natural life. And then keep it in the center of your heart. You know, we can keep something in our natural world around us, but not have it in our heart. We can read the word. We can even do the word to a certain degree because we feel like we have to, but it never reaches our heart. We can have head knowledge of stuff, but not heart knowledge of stuff. And here what it's saying is have head knowledge, keep it before your eyes, and then allow it to be heart knowledge as well. Something that abides in you that's going to bring forth in your life into your inner man. Mm-hmm. Then it confirms that in verse 22. It says, for they are. Now, what does that mean? They are means this is a definite. This is an absolute. They are. For they, his words, are life. We've been talking about that's the subject of our lesson, of our series here, is the living word. The living word. The living word. So, it's a study in the living word, is the title of our series. And here it says, for they are life. We talked about that several times, and we'll talk about it more in the future. But God's word is life. It's life because it has life in it. It brings forth life because there's life in it. So for they, his words, or the word, are life too. So it's being specific of where this word's life to. It's not just life to anything. It's life to. So it's being specific. For they, his words, are life to those who find them. Now when it says find them, what are you doing? When you find something, you're looking for it, right?
Right.
In the beginning here in Proverbs 4:20, it says, my son, attend. So if you're attending to his words, you're meditating on them, but you're also finding them. You're searching them. You're spending time in Scripture. You're looking up things. You're studying it. You're doing more than just reading through the Bible. So for they are life to those who find them. So this person that is busy searching the Word, he's busy attending to it. He's busy taking it into his eyes and into his heart. So they're going to do something. What? They're going to bring life to this person that's finding these words. Then it doesn't stop there with just life. It adds to it healing and health to all their flesh.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Why is it healing and health? Because the word is alive.
Amen.
It's God's word. It lives. So wherever the word is received and abides, it brings life. Even if we don't see it doing that, it's still doing it. The seed has to abide, but it's going to bring forth harvest if it abides.
Amen.
And the thing that's so amazing to me is how once that seed is planted, it grows and grows and grows and grows. And that's the function of grace.
Amen.
You know?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you'll be reading something, whoo, and you've only read it 40 times.
Yeah. Yeah. But now you see it.
And now you see a new fruit.
Amen. Yes, amen. Yes. A part of that is brought up another harvest.
It,
you're attending to it. If you're not attending to it and searching it, that won't happen.
That's true.
You'll read right by it. Because, and it'll be right there. The answer to everything you've been searching for, the need that you have is right there. And you read right past it and not recognize it because you're not attending to it. You're just reading it, which is okay, and it'll bring a certain amount of life. But it's not bringing forth its full potential because we're not attending to it. And that means I don't just read a chapter a day. I might read a verse today or two words and sit there and think about those two words and allow those two words to just fill my spirit because there's something in those two words that I'm missing if I just read on. That's someone that's attending to the word. He's not just reading it because it's an obligation or something that mama told him to do or something the pastor told. Those are good reasons to read it, but go beyond that. If you want the word to be alive in you, you have to receive it as that.
Amen.
You have to consent to it and submit to it. That's what it says here. Consent and submit, the Amplified says. As I mentioned, that's two different things. You can submit to something because you're beat into it, or you have to as a slave. You're going to submit. Or you can consent and submit. Consent means I want to. It means I'm allowing it to come in. I'm not just doing it because I'm forced to. I'm allowing this word to take root in my life. It's abiding in me. I want it. So when you go back to the same words, it will bring life in a different way. It will grow up in your spirit to reveal something new. The Holy Spirit is busy bringing forth revelation on the word that abides. Now that's what we need to understand. The Holy Spirit is going to draw on that word that abides. Mm-hmm. He's going to bring that up when trouble comes, when problems and issues of life come along, when issues with healing and health come up. Notice it said healing and health. You can be healed and need to be healed again, but if you're walking in health, you don't ever have to be healed because you're walking in health. The Word of God has the ability to bring forth life. It has the ability within itself to bring forth healing and to bring forth health. You know, the Word does. But if we don't put the Word in and all we're doing is relying on medicine, the medicine will go as far as it can. But normally all medicine does, it puts the body in a place where it can heal itself. That's really what medicine does. But if I'm taking the medicine and it puts my body in a place where it can receive and apply the word, now what's going to happen? I'm going to get well. I'm going to spring forth. It's going to happen. I'll get well with just the word too. But I'm going to get there a little quicker if my body's in a position to receive that. You know, so that's why you take your medicine the way the doctor says. Mm-hmm. If you take the word every day, morning and night and noonday, it's going to do something for you. It's going to bring forth life to the degree that you consent and submit and attend to it. That's the degree of harvest you'll have.
Amen.
In your life. I determine that. God doesn't. I determine how quickly this comes up to manifestation. If I'm only giving it a little bit of water here and there, now and then, it's going to take a lot longer for that little dude to come up. And when it comes up, it's not going to be at its full potential. But if I'm watering that regularly, I'm doing it every day, I'm guarding my mind to keep the doubts out, I'm doing what I need to do, then that, when it does come up in its time, it's going to bring forth an abundant harvest to the degree that I attend to it.
May I say something?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At that very point, it is so important for us to guard what we watch on TV.
Oh, every
oh, yeah.
Yes.
What we hear on
yes.
radio.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you what, that is a source that will flood into your heart.
Yeah.
Seeds that you don't want.
Right. You don't want. Especially if you're on a faith project.
That's right.
That's all the time it should be that way. But if we're on a specific project, we need to guard those things. Because that's where doubt will enter in at. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We'll see it, and then down the road, maybe a day or so, the result of what we saw will come up. And we don't put the two together. Mm-hmm. We think it's just innocent. But I have to protect and guard my heart. That's what it says here. For they are life to those who find them, verse 22, healing and health to all their flesh. That's even where I don't know I got an issue at. And here's a key I always think about when I'm talking about healing or health. Most of us know people that have had issues and problems with health. And we'll judge our result based on what we see in them.
Uh-huh.
And we should never do that.
Never do that.
I don't care who they are. They could be the most powerful Bible preacher in the world and get sick and die. Don't base what you do with the word based on what you see there, because you don't know the whole story, for one thing. You don't know what happened there. You never will know what happened there unless God reveals it. You base what you do solely on what the word says.
Amen.
Only on that.
Amen.
Not what you see in somebody else and not what you saw in the past. You take the word as absolute life and absolute truth. You base it only on that, what God said, and not on what you see around you. The enemy will use those things. See, here you are spending all of this time trying to get this. You're wasting your time. The enemy will say, you see what happened to him? Now, he's this big, whopping faith preacher. And he failed. Who do you think you are? You can't do that. You can't base that. You do what Jesus said, for it is written. You base it only on the word, not on what you see. And we need to know that. We need to do that. Make a determined stand in your life. I don't care what these eyes see other than the word. I don't care what I see. I know the word says this.
Amen.
And that's what they call the faith fight. The good fight of faith. That's what you're doing. You're protecting your faith and you're keeping doubt out. Because the enemy will use what you see to put doubt in your heart. Mm-hmm. Even if that doubt, you don't act on it, you're constantly seeing it and meditating on it and thinking about it.
Right.
Eventually it'll weaken your faith.
Right.
But if you're basing your faith and what you're doing and standing on only on the word, it's your anchor. It is the anchor. In that case, you're going to have results.
Uh-huh.
Those voices and that doubt will get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker because you're standing on the word. What do you do when you stand? You stand there for.
Stand there for.
Yeah. Doesn't say how long, Mother.
Well, Dodie Osteen, everybody knows who
yes.
she is. She was Joel Osteen's mom.
Oh, yeah.
She was healed of cancer way back in the 80s. When they took her to the hospital, she weighed like 70, 80 pounds.
She just bone.
She had metastatic cancer of the liver, the fastest killing cancer that there is, because her son was a doctor. He's the one who diagnosed her.
Yes, surgeon.
And they said she had like, I don't know, 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
And she said, John, get my coat. And they went home. And they began at that moment to confess the word. And he said, when he told about it in the service, he said, when we started doing that, it was like the devil showed him the cancer was saying, cancer! And they were going, by his stripes, I am healed. And over time, he said, eventually, it turned around and the cancer goes, cancer! And they were saying, by his stripes, we are healed. You know, and she got healed. She's still alive.
Still alive.
Wow. Yeah.
It was impossible. I think we have a couple copies of that book. I think it's over in the library.
Her testimony in there, with all her scriptures that she
It's an outstanding testimony. There's living testimonies all around us. Mm-hmm. But what did they do? They stood on the Word. They stood on the Word. You can get healed several ways. We're going to talk about healing later on. But you can get healed by a miracle, which is not God's best. People think miracles are God's best. Because it's, boom, leg grew out. Well, that is awesome. But that's not God's best. God's best is when you take the Word of God and stand on it and get it through the Word.
Amen.
The Word is guaranteed. A miracle is not.
Right.
The Word is absolute. A miracle is not. A miracle may or may not happen. That's by God's grace and His own intervention.
Yes.
But then you got to protect it. After you receive the miracle, you got to still stay in the Word to protect it or
Amen.
You lose it. The Word is absolute. You got to always get healed on the Word. That was purchased by blood. It's absolute. Depends on what we do with that Word. But the Word is alive. Brother Hagin says when an anointing would wear off, he prayed for thousands, anointing would wear off, he could still get him healed by teaching him the Word.
Yeah.
Depending on what they did with the Word.
Yeah.
It's up to their faith. How many? Almost every miracle, if you look at almost every miracle Jesus did, you'll see a form of this statement. Your faith has made you whole.
Amen.
Not Jesus' faith, their faith. It's in some way or another, it's stated in almost every circumstance where there's a healing. He'll say it in some way or another. Your faith has made you whole. Our faith is involved.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. So this is important for us. For these words are life. I know that. And if I can get a hold of the Word will bring life. For they are life to those who find them. So I'm looking for them. Healing and health to all their flesh. Now, verse 23, I like the way the Amplified puts it. Amplified Classic. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. And above all that you guard. For out of it flow the springs of life. Where does life come from? Your heart. Not just a blood pump, but your spirit. The Word talking about heart is talking about your spirit. That's the real man. That's us. That's where the spirit dwells. Yes, it's in our body because our spirit is in our body. But the Holy Spirit abides inside our spirit.
Amen.
We're merged. We're one. The Spirit teaches my spirit and my mind, and my body hears from my spirit. That's why when you hear the Holy Spirit talking, it sounds like you talking. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Your spirit is hearing from the Holy Spirit. The Holy in our spirit isn't supposed to be in dominion in our life. So that's what it's saying right here. Keep and guard your heart, not your head. Keep and guard. Two different things again. Keep. I can guard something but not keep it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guards are asleep at the post. You know, when I'm keeping and guarding, I have interest here. I'm taking care of it. I'm keeping it clean. I'm doing things with this that I'm guarding. I'm not just guarding it. So keep and guard your heart. So I'm maintaining what's in my heart. I'm not just guarding the heart. You know, you can place a guard on a storehouse with trash in it. You can put a guard on it. You're still guarding your storehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can guard your treasure, which there's a reason to guard your treasure. The reason you keep and guard something is because it has value. It has value. Maybe not to anyone but you, but it has a value. That's why it's saying keep and guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. So many of us guard our mind by putting a lot of knowledge in there, and that knowledge is okay, but it's not going to do what heart does.
Uh-huh.
It's what's in your heart that counts. We'll see that next week. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. It means you are on duty 24/7, 365 and a quarter. You don't even lay it down on that quarter. You stand guard continuously. You keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all. So if you have $1 million and you're standing guard over it day and night, but you're not guarding your heart, you're guarding trash. It has a value, but we see that in that one rich man. He said, I don't have the scripture available right now, and I don't know the verse numbers. But you'll know what I'm talking about. It's been in the Word. This one rich man said, I have more than enough for many years, but I have too much. I don't know what to do with it. So he's going to tear down all of his barns and build new ones. And then God says to him, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you, and then who will have all of this? That's paraphrased. But that's the way. We'll guard that $1 million and do nothing with our heart and wind up losing both.
Yeah.
If not, with all diligence, you guard and keep with all diligence your heart. And it says, above all that you guard. For out of it flow the issues of life. You know, this is so important. Rockefeller was living on one of the most richest men ever lived. He's dead now, but before he was a Christian, he wound up living on just milk and bread or something.
Egg
whites or something. He was really sick. So he started giving his fortune away. He got healed.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't give it away enough. The more he gave it away, the more come. And now he's responsible for, what is it, March of Dimes?
March of Dimes. He started
that.
I don't know, it was 1 mile from 42nd Street or whatever, Central Park or something. He laid down a dime. And then he put one next to that, and he laid dimes for 1 mile through New York City.
I didn't know that.
And that's what March of Dimes started.
Yeah. So his life changed. So he got well. There's a lot of stories like that where you put your focus on what's important. They're not just stories. Stories sound like a fable.
That's testimony.
But they're testimonies where people actually put the word to work. In their life, they started believing it and trusting it. So that's what we need to do. That's why it says, keep and guard above all, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the issues of life, or the springs of life. I think the King James says issues. One of them does. The promise that is in the Word is able to bring life and health to all of our flesh. We need to do the rest of what is contained in these verses, the following verses, actually 24 through 27, and what's in here. What is contained in these verses to get the promise to work. We have to do the word for the word to work. We have to act on the word. So many of us read it and just expect it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We may even speak the word and expect it to happen. I'm always involved in what the word does. There's never a time when I will not be involved. It's my faith. It's my trust. It's what I do with my life. It's what I do with my love walk. Those are my responsibilities. God's not going to change my love walk. If my love walk is not proper, my faith won't work. And if my faith is not working, no matter how much I do the word or try to do the word, it's not going to work. It's not going to bring forth harvest. See, Satan knows that. That's why he aims at our love walk.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to get you in strife. He wants to get you angry and upset. He wants you to get envy and worry and fear and all these things working. He wants you to do that. He doesn't care in what area you do it, as long as you do it.
He wants you to give up.
Yeah, and you'll grow weary, and you'll start turning carnally minded because you're not seeing results. Well, it's not time for results.
Yeah.
You're getting results.
I remember when God quickened me so many years ago, of the truth that God has not given us a spirit of fear.
No.
But of power.
Power.
And love.
Love.
And a sound mind. That's the
sound
mind.
Sound mind.
Amen.
Yes. The mind of Christ.
Yes.
That's what He gave us. And if we're functioning anywhere else, that's our fault, not God's.
That's right.
Well, I just can't do this. Yes, you can. You're trying to do it in your own power. And you're looking at what you see. You're not looking at the Word. You're not applying your spiritual power. You're just doing it mentally. You're stronger than you think you are.
Amen.
A lot stronger than you think you are. Because who lives in you? The word says we're more than conquerors.
Yes, amen.
To him who loved us.
Hallelujah.
That's what the word says. Oh, about out of time.
About
out of time. So, the power to walk in life and health is contained in God's word. The word that we attend to, or the word that abides, will bring forth life and health to all of our flesh. So if we're doing a fight, whether it's a financial fight, we're fighting for someone else, whatever it is, we have to guard our hearts above all. That's because that's where the treasure is. That's where the power flows.
Amen.
And if I'm not watching my love walk, I'm not watching my heart. So, and if I grew up in a family that always argues, where things are always pushing my buttons, maybe I didn't grow up that way, but that's the way I became, for whatever reason. I can blame them, but it's not their fault, no matter what they did. Whether they intended to do it or not, it's still not their fault. It's my fault because I paid attention to that. I allowed it to function. I didn't do battle with it. I didn't take my thoughts captive. I responded carnally to that circumstance. And we've all done it.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll probably do it again. But that's why God gave us 1 John 1:9 where we can repent.
Amen.
And take account of it. And
that's
he,
one area where the devil constantly tries to tempt us.
Yes.
Our thought process.
Yes. That's where he aims. He aims at our thoughts, but he aims primarily at our love walk through our thoughts.
Yes.
He uses, well, did you see what they did? They done that last time too. And if you don't take a stand, they're going to continue to do that. That's not your problem, what they do. You stand against your own thoughts. You take that captive. Well, the more they do that, the more I'm going to love them. I'm going to do something nice to them. The more they do that, the more I'm going to do for them.
Amen.
You counter that with love. If you don't do that, then the others will take play, will take authority.
That's right.
And you'll lose your stand on whatever you're standing for. You may not be praying for them. You may be over here dealing with something else. Satan does not care where you get into strife at, as long as you get into strife.
Uh-huh.
It can be at the supermarket, it can be wherever. And where there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work.
Have you noticed that he always starts with little bitty things?
Always.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's a seed.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
And he'll keep putting that thought in your mind.
Yeah. If you don't stand against it, if you just allow it, it's going to grow.
And the Word tells us what we're supposed to think on.
Think on these things.
Yes.
Yes.
So combat, that's what I do when I'm combating thoughts.
Yeah.
I say think on whatever's lovely and pure or good before.
Yes.
So that's what I battle with.
Right.
When thoughts come to me. And it's something that you have to be vigilant about.
Yes, you do.
Before you know it, there'll be a not right thought.
Right.
You know, when I was in prison, I took Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind.
Uh-huh.
The whole deal with that, the workbook, the book, all of that. And then we had a counselor over us that taught us the stuff. And it's been a great piece of advice all of my Christian walk.
If you don't know these truths that God's trying to teach, if you don't go where they're taught, you're going to continue the way you were and with what you're doing in your same response, because that's all you know.
Yeah.
You can even hear it taught but not do anything with what you're taught.
Yeah.
And not make a decision to change it. The thing is, you're not on your own changing these things. The Holy Spirit will empower you too.
Yes.
Once you make the decision and maintain the decision. Yes.
And you know, at that point, that is the point where it's so important for us to walk with a faith that worketh
by love. Yes.
Amen.
It only works that way. Can't work any other way.
Amen.
No, so we need to know that. And just because you fell down doesn't mean you can't get up.
That's right.
When you start to get up, you say, Lord, help me, and he'll reach down and grab your hand, but he won't till you reach up. You know, so because he loves us.
Amen.
We're not slaves.
Thank you.
Amen. We'll take up the rest of Proverbs 4:20 through 27 next week. Father, we thank you for this time in the Word. We thank you for the opportunity we've had to share these truths today. Thank you that you're teaching us, Lord. Thank you that you will, by your Spirit, continue to keep us in remembrance of what you've taught us. We thank you for it. We thank you for the service that lies ahead. We thank you, Father, for the revelation that will come forth and for the anointing on this man, this guest speaker today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.